the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio.
Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
Everybody, listen carefully.
This guy gets it.
Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Roman Yossi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Eustace Arros of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Robert Grimaldi of the Nashville Predators.
And you're listening to the Renegades of Puck.
Broadcasting live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. And against all better judgment, this is Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all skate around the NHL with all the news, highlights, scores, and more.
This is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predator, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie. Welcome to Smashville.
Everybody, against all better judgment, it's Predneck Nation Radio. WNSR presents the Renegades of Puck, all in the trenches today. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. And if it's 5 o'clock on your clock, the Renegades of Puck are in the trenches. Mostradamus will join me in the second period. Sean C. Smith in the third period. Brian Bassin got you all set up with one big stat before the end of the show. And we're going to give the ulti one a morning off because the ulti one was a little salty post-game last night. We'll get into it, we'll break it all down, and we'll talk about it. But first, let me tell you how you can interact with this show. At Renegades of Puck on Twitter is how you can feed us your information, questions, all of that good stuff. And we're always up for the interaction, so reach out to us right there and make sure you're giving us a follow. Make sure you're giving this radio station a follow on Twitter, at Nash Sports Radio. Facebook, feeding you a live video feed and stream right here from the Command and Control Center of the Renegades of Puck. So make sure, again, you're following at Nash Sports Radio on all of the social media platforms, and also get that WNSR app completely free for you to download, and you can take it with you anywhere in the universe so you can listen to this radio show. And WNSR.com, of course, streaming the show 100% completely live and for free each and every day. We so much appreciate our great partnership here with Nashville Sports Radio, well over 10 years now and over 500 episodes of Predneck Nation Radio. Just go to WNSR.com, click on that Predneck Nation page. You can check out each and every one of those episodes, and you can track our work over the years. We've always been brutal honest with you, Predators fans, and we're going to do that again here today in the trenches on Predneck Nation Radio. If you're listening over the air, you're doing that on 560 AM and 95.9 FM, and we sure do appreciate that all throughout Middle Tennessee. 107.9 FM, strong signal headed down through Smyrna into the borough and beyond the I-24 corridor, and of course, 103.9 Drakesboro, Kentucky, also simulcasting this show every day. We appreciate each and every one of you out there for jumping in the trenches. We picked up a whole lot of new listeners in the last 2 weeks since we've moved to Monday through Friday each and every day, bringing you the coverage you've demanded for well over 20 years now here in Nashville. And WNSR has always been the radio station that's been willing to step out and been in front of the curve and been willing to bring you that coverage. And they do that now by entrusting the Renegades of Puck and me, your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier, to work from the Strike and Spare studios and operate and handle our business and deliver the goods each and every day at 5 o'clock on the clock. Renegades of Puck on the radio here at Nashville Sports Radio. Nashville Predators have just 2 games to go in the regular season. They will wrap up the home portion of the schedule against the Carolina Hurricanes. The next game for the Preds will take place on Saturday, and then Monday will be the end of the regular season. Last night, the Nashville Predators wrapped up the road portion of the regular season schedule, taking a loss in Columbus. We'll go inside the numbers and give you a full game recap here in just a couple of moments. But let's get you set up with a couple of other things, update the standings, the schedule, the results from last night, and all of those things that are very, very important to you right now as we are into the final couple of days in the regular season. Of course, it is a shortened regular season this year, 56 games, but it is a full best of 7 times 4 rounds NHL playoff tournament, as is tradition. It'll look just a little bit different because of the way the divisions were set up, because of the way the seedings are set up this year. It's basically been set up as 4 independent leagues that will not face off against each other until what is traditionally known as the conference final round. So the first 2 rounds, of course, will take place solely within the division. No wild card crossovers or anything like that. this year. We'll get more into that here in the coming days as we'll have a little bit more time to flesh those things out. But with two games to go, your Nashville Predators find themselves today, after skating 54 games on the season, they have with a record of 29-23-2. That's good for 60 points. They are still 4 points clear of the Dallas Stars. So no clinch last night for the Nashville Predators because they fell against the Columbus Blue Jackets. But the Dallas Stars also fell. We'll go over that score in just a second. The Preds finish up the regular season on the road with an even 13-13-2 record. It wasn't looking very good to start the season. I am very pleased to see that the Nashville Predators were able to get a 500 record on the road. But I got to admit, I'm a little bit disappointed in what happened last night. The Preds have scored 148 goals on the season. That is by far the least amount of the top four teams or the playoff bracket for the Central Division. The Nashville Predators next will take on the Carolina Hurricanes. We'll start to look ahead to that team here in just another day or so, because that's going to be the only team we're going to be talking about moving forward. The Carolina Hurricanes basically have a stranglehold over first place in the Central Division and also over the President's Trophy in the NHL. The Carolina Hurricanes now have skated 53 games, record of 36-10-7, 79 points, 19-point difference between the Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes in first place. So the Carolina Hurricanes looking to wrap up the division, and they'll have an opportunity because they'll be back on the ice tonight facing off against the Chicago Blackhawks, and the Carolina Hurricanes have had some pretty good success against the Blackhawks. So look for them to handle that, and then that could be the clinching scenario, and then Carolina could come to Nashville with very little to accomplish other than getting through those two games and getting some players rested and getting set up to face off against the Preds in a best of seven. The President's Trophy, the division, it could all be wrapped up. So Carolina, they will face off against Chicago and then, of course, come here to face off against Nashville on Saturday and Monday. The Florida Panthers only have two games left on the season, so they are 4 points behind first place right now. So Florida takes on Tampa Bay two more times. Tampa Bay has a game versus Dallas on Friday. Of course, that game could help the Nashville Predators backdoor into a clinching scenario. So we could, before the Nashville Predators even play another game, find the Predators clinched with a playoff spot before Saturday when they take on Carolina. Dallas will end up finishing their schedule Sunday. So the Nashville Predators will have a game after Dallas finishes their season schedule Sunday in Chicago. So it is just about wrapped up, and the Nashville Predators just about have things clinched, but a little bit more work to do, possibly a backdoor in, but they might have to do a little bit more work against the Carolina Hurricanes over the weekend. Last night, Tampa Bay did defeat Dallas 6-2, and I mentioned tonight, Chicago will be at Carolina. That's your Central Division action and roundup. Interesting caveat in the scheduling, as I just mentioned, Tampa Bay and Florida, they'll be the 2-3 matchup in the Central Division, and they will face off to wrap up the regular season schedule, and the 1-4 matchup in the Central Division, Carolina and Nashville will also face off in the final two games of the regular season. So if either of those series were to go seven games, you would be looking at 9 consecutive games against a division rival and division opponent. I can't imagine things are going to get too spicy right there. For the Nashville Predators, Victor Arvidsson now the main impact name on the injury report. The Nashville Predators, great news, were able to welcome some more names back into the lineup last night. Favreau comes back into the lineup and out for a little while now, and Sissons also back into the lineup, only missing one game. Great to see Colton Sissons back out there on the ice. So for the Nashville Predators, getting healthy at the right time is outstanding news. You're going to need every single one of those healthy bodies. The playoffs are an absolute grind. A best of seven series wears people down, and there are always very unexpected injuries, and they seem to come very quickly. The playoffs are very fast, very physical, very high impact, and you start adding in some of those lengthy overtime games and things start to happen. So for the Nashville Predators, getting every single one of these bodies back in and healthy, well, it just creates the spirit of healthy competition. And now, after what John Hines saw last night, you might see a pretty good rotation of players in the next two games to try to see who is ready to go out there and compete at the highest level. Because last night, well, that was the last time that the Nashville Predators can put in anything less than a 100% effort if they have any expectations of surviving moving forward. Why do I say that? Well, because the Preds are 5-16-1 against the top three teams in the Central Division, known as the playoff bracket, and the other teams they would have to face, and they're 0-5-1 against Carolina. So the Nashville Predators need to handle that business. If you come out and you only put up a half step in effort, you are not going to be able to survive in any best of seven against any of those teams. So for the Nashville Predators, last night was the last night that they can get that type of effort and get out of there without too much consequence. So we go back to last night in Columbus, National Predators versus the Columbus Blue Jackets, and here are your line combinations. Forsberg, Johansson, and Tolvanen, Yarncroke, Granlund, and Cunning, Richardson, Holla, and Duchesne, Trennan, Sissons back in the lineup, and Janot, so the Stampede line back together, Josi and Ellis, Ekholm, and Carrier, Harper, and Favreau. Great to see Dante Favreau back in the lineup. Again, the National Predators are going to need every single body they have healthy, especially players that have experience, like Dante Favreau. UC Saros gets the start in net. We go to 3:22 of the first period, and Tanner Janot's got his fourth goal of the season, putting the Nashville Predators up 1-0. It's the Stampede line just going to work. Trennan dumps it down into the corner, and then Janot finishes it with the step out and score. It was a little bit of a trickler, but it ends up in the net, and the Nashville Predators in the Stampede line have a goal up 1-0 on Columbus on the road. 4:21 of the first period, UC Saros comes up with a save on line, a sharp angle attempt at 5:49. Saros comes up with a save on Domi at 6:27. Carrier goes off to the box 2 minutes for tripping. It was a decent penalty kill overall for the Nashville Predators. Columbus is kept to the outside on this one. After that power play expires, though, the Nashville Predators would go on to just put on some very sloppy hockey out there, and that's allowing Columbus to pick up a little bit of momentum, and it was honestly just really ugly hockey for a little bit. 15:21 of the first period, solid scrum after a whistle. The Nashville Predators engaging back in this first period. The Stampede line, of course, it's the first life that the team has shown in almost 10 minutes, and that is, of course, the line who would get it done. 19:50, Johansson and Tolvanen pair up for a scoring chance just before the end of the period. Really good scoring chance right here. Mrazlikins comes up big. At the end of the first period, it is the Nashville Predators with a 1-0 lead, but Columbus is out shooting Nashville 10-8. We go into the second period, and we pick up a 2-minute delay of game, puck over glass, penalty on the Nashville Predators. Roslovic converts on the power play for the Columbus Blue Jackets, his 11th of the season, off of the body, down to the stick, and then in. Why did he have so much time to go ahead and corral that and put it in? Because he was completely unchallenged in front of the net. This was a really big warning sign to me early in this second period that he had so much time and space in front of the net. So we have a tie game here in the second period, and we have a lot more unattractive hockey. The neutral zone is just absolutely a mess. At 8:01, Trennan crashes the net, causing a ruckus. Cunning also involved in all of that. Again, the Stampede line out there bringing a little bit of life to this game for the Nashville Predators. Where is everybody else? 9:19 of the second period. Mrazlikins comes up with a save on Phil Forsberg. 13:17. Favreau's got a shot deflected by Janot for an excellent scoring chance by the Preds. 14:17. Saros comes up with a save on Lettinen. No challenge as he just skated right in for a much closer and better shot opportunity. Again, unchallenged going towards the net. 16:43. Saros multiple saves after some really sloppy defensive play by the Nashville Predators in their own zone. UC Saros trying to keep his team afloat in this one, but honestly, the details are just atrocious on the ice. 17:53, though, the Nashville Predators do get a little bit of a glimmer here. Yarncroke's 13th goal of the season as he takes the loose puck by line 8 right down the ice. It's a 2-on-0. He decides to shoot because he catches Mrazlikins leaning. I like saying things like that. That's fun. Kelly Yarncroke, I also like saying that. He converts, and the Nashville Predators are up 2-1. By the way, Kelly Yarncroke now with 13 goals, tied for the Nashville Predators team lead for the season. 19:10 of the second period, Bjorkstrand, 16th of the year, ties the game at 2 apiece. More loose play in the D zone, and this time it costs the Preds. How many times can you ask UC Saros to bail you out? Well, too many, because this time it costs the Nashville Predators. We have a tie game at the end of the second period. Columbus out shooting Nashville 19-16. So the Preds, 8 shots per period through 40 minutes. We go into the third period, 56 seconds in. Gavrikov's off to the box for 2 minutes. The Columbus Blue Jackets penalty kill was just owning the ice. Nashville barely crossed over the blue line, and Columbus had the better scoring opportunity. UC Saros by far had to make the better save in this 2 minute span than Elvis Mrazlikins. 3:39. Mrazlikins does have to come up with a save on Trennan off of the rush. Again, I love watching Trennan build that wall and just head to the net. It's just awesome to see. 8:39. Forsberg drives the net even harder than Trennan did, and he goes for the jam attempt. The puck pops up in the air. He almost is able to get behind the net and swing at the rebound as it comes down and bounces. What an incredible single effort this would have been if Phil Forsberg could have finished this one off. It would have been just another highlight reel goal in a long career for Phil Forsberg. But this, what a great play right here. And I really thought he was going to put this one into the net. At 11-12, the Stampede causes another ruckus, and I'm here for it. 13-43, Saros comes up with a save on Gavrikov after intense pressure by the Columbus Blue Jackets. But that pressure would continue after that save, and just 7 seconds later, it would be Grigorenko scoring his fourth goal of the season. We've got a deflection off of a long shot right in front of the net, and the Columbus Blue Jackets now have a 3-2 lead. Again, a player in close not being challenged the way someone should be challenged, especially at this stage of the game. Columbus has a 3-2 lead on home ice, 15-19. Carrier cuts to the net hard and gets his own rebound. Two good scoring chances. Merzlikins maybe his strongest saves of the game, and he holds the line. 16-39, Johansson robbed by Merzlikins on the doorstep. If he could have got the puck a couple inches higher, this one might have been in, but the glove is there. Empty net with 2:20 remaining. We would see Saros have to come back in after a faceoff, and while he's trying to get out of the net for the second time, he has to back in and make a save on Atkinson's breakaway attempt. This is not a very easy thing, or not a very common thing, for a goaltender to have to do, to be heading towards the bench and then suddenly hit the brakes, reverse, and then go back and make a save. But UC Saros dialed in, makes that save. Unfortunately, Bjorkstrand finishes this game off with an empty net goal, making the score 4-2 here at the end. The Nashville Predators would outshoot Columbus 32-27, and yes, they would generate a good solid amount of pressure down the stretch of this game. But even with the 6-on-5, not nearly enough opportunities or high danger scoring chances towards the net. And frankly, the Nashville Predators did not deserve to come out of this one with a victory. They were not fully engaged in this game. You may think it was a last place team, the last road game of the season, that the gap between the Preds and the Stars is getting comfortable for the fellas out there. Whatever it was, maybe it was a combination of every single one of those things. Whatever it was, it's not good enough, and the team can no longer afford to be disengaged from the game itself. The Stampede line is out there running all over the ice, trying to make things happen in the offensive zone, in the neutral zone, in the defensive zone. They're laying people out all over the ice. They're doing exactly what they do each and every game. Where were the other three lines last night? Where was everybody else? Why were there so many passengers in that game last night for the Nashville Predators? I know that John Hines and the coaching staff is probably going to have a lot to say once they have a chance to break that tape down and look at it. And for the Nashville Predators, they do have an opportunity now that the road schedule is concluded. They come back home. They do not play until Saturday, so they have one extra day between games. That means they should get a good practice in. We should get an update on Victor Arvidsson and any other injured players right now. And the Nashville Predators can take a deep breath and get ready for Carolina. I don't want the Preds to backdoor in with Dallas losing on Friday night. I wanted the Predators to beat Columbus last night so they could get on that plane knowing the end result that happened between Tampa Bay and Dallas and celebrate that thing and set up a weekend where the Preds could start to prepare themselves for a best of seven. Unfortunately, that's not what happened. And when you don't put in the effort and when you don't engage in the game and you don't put in the emotional investment, that's exactly the type of return that you get. Let's get Mastrodamus into the trenches and talk about the box scores, the individual performances. And also, we've got some other things from around the league to talk about. Gary Bettman and the NHL, they wanted their bloodbath and they got it last night at MSG. We'll recap. We'll talk about that. Six fighting majors in the first 4 minutes of a game. Not something you see in this era or this age. Not something that I've seen in many years. A full 3-on-3 line go right off the opening puck drop last night at Madison Square Garden. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
Hockey players are as unique as the game itself, and your uniform should be tailored to fit you. Rebirth Sports is your sports apparel tailor. From shells, bags, warm-ups, hats, hoodies, branding, and more, let Rebirth Sports be your custom hockey tailor.
And don't forget to tell them they do more than just hockey.
Rebirth Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Rebirth Sports and Predneck Nation, a match made in hockey.
I'm Colton Sissons of the Nashville Predators, and you are listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. You're in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. Colton Sissons getting back into the lineup last night. just going to miss out on that ugly lunch pail award. Missed one game back in the lineup. Great to see him. Also seeing Dante Fabro back in the lineup. Nashville Predators getting healthy at just the right time, and they're going to need to put in a much better effort than they did last night in Columbus if they have any hope against the top teams in the Central Division coming up here in the next few weeks in the Central Division playoff bracket. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. Welcome back in. Mastrodamus is in the trenches with me today, the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation and a man so far ahead in the future. He's going to tell you everything that's going to happen with this Nashville Predators team. He's already talked about what's going to happen with the division, even the President's Trophy. So I welcome him back in to continue that conversation today. You can find him on Twitter at GreekGoalie35, or you can listen to him on this radio show in the second period all season long. And remember, everybody, if it's 5 o'clock on your clock, the Renegades of Puck are right here on Nashville Sports Radio. Mastrodamus, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Not bad. How about you?
You know, I'm all right. I was a little frustrated last night to see the lack of enthusiasm for that game, let's just say, throughout a lot of the lineup. The Stampede line, of course, brought it. So let's get into it. Let's dissect a little bit and let's kind of figure out what happened last night. UC Soros, 23 out of 26 in the game. He takes the loss. But I got to tell you, I felt like the Nashville Predators kind of left him out to dry last night. There were a lot of unchallenged players right around the crease. There were a lot of rebound opportunities that were fairly easy to pick up. And you tell me as a goalie, when I start seeing UC Soros leaving positioning and bailing on the crease to try to make poke checks when the puck is 4 or 5 feet away from him, I know that he is losing confidence in the guys around him, at least for this game. Tell me what you saw last night.
First and foremost, it's the first time that Soros has given up 3 or more goals in back-to-back games since this stretch of hockey has begun for him. Since February 4th and February 9th was the last time that's happened. Overall, the PK fails again. Burst goal is scrambling around, had a breakdown in communication. Both Ekholm and Halla leave the middle of the ice to go after Bjorkstrand in that face-off dot area. He takes the shot, and then, of course, they have Carrier try to cover two players on the back post, so not much of a chance for Soros on that one. Bjorkstrand then does tally after really a simple dump-in, mishandled by Duchesne, had it bounce past him. Then he complicates matters by getting to his defensive position late, created a screen, of course, beat Soros 7-hole. 7-hole, I think, is something that, just really quick, we do want to emphasize here. That's a spot that's very widely underutilized, I think, by players. It's a very difficult reaction for the goaltender to try to pinch their elbow in towards their body. Normal stance, your glove is out, you know, your elbow's in, tucked into your body. Your elbow on your right side when you have your blocker is out, you have your stick down. Very awkward reaction for a goaltender to try to pinch their elbow in on that. So I think it's very underutilized for shooters. But then you have the game-winning goal, of course, so just the press being hemmed in. Really, to their credit, for most of the third period, is really the first chance that Columbus had in their zone. Some quality chances. Grigorenko, of course, getting position in front of the net, expertly deflects it in 5-hole on Soros. So ultimately, 2 of the 3 goals go through him, 1 7-hole, 1 5-hole. But again, that's 2 out of the 3 goals Columbus gets because they got to the position in front of the net that the Preds were unwilling or unable to do.
At the end of the night, I want to highlight something positive because I didn't find a whole lot positive in this game. The Stampede line just continues to deliver the goods. They played exactly the game you wanted to play and expect them to play last night in Columbus. And they started early, and it was often. I want to definitely highlight Janot. He picks up another goal, 4 shots on goal in the game, 5 hits, including, again, some absolute steamrollers out there on the ice, Mastrodamus. 13:57 in highly effective time on ice. And Mosh, I'm saying it right now. I know that there are a ton of healthy bodies, and some of them are veterans that had spots on this team. Janot needs to be on the postseason roster. He just brings the thing that you need come postseason time.
Well, they continue to start every single period, and that's how, as far as I'm concerned, John Hines is going to keep things that way. As long as they're healthy, they're going to keep playing and generate that aggressiveness that you really want. And unfortunately, last night, it didn't really trickle down to the rest of the lines. Janot, he's tied for the team lead in goals over the last 3 weeks. I mean, that tells you something. It's not just him out there delivering 4, 5, 6 hits a night and, you know, oh, it's a good, you know, it's like Jordan Tutu. He's out there just hitting guys left and right, you know, getting the fans going and becoming a quick fan favorite. This is him generating offense also on his own. The goal he had was unassisted because he went hard on the forecheck, deflected a potential clearing attempt, gets it behind the net, and just goes strong. Yes, of course, Merzlikins would love to have that one back. You get that puck towards the net, and good things happen. So, yeah, he's not going anywhere. He's going to be on the postseason roster, as is the rest of the Stampede line, unless some injuries start taking place. Even if guys start coming back, Arvidsson, whoever the case is, Grimaldi, I've heard that name put around again, Yeah, they might rotate in, but they're not breaking up that fourth line.
Moss, let's take a time out and divert to a topic that's a total distraction for me. You know, I have to get up at like 2 o'clock in the morning to come in and do the AM version of Prednik Nation Radio and get in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. Jordan Tutu, you just mentioned his name, and I'm so glad because it jogged a memory from yesterday. The Weather Channel, of all things, I have no idea what show it was, and if somebody out there does know that listens, please hit me up and let me know. There was some sort of Ice Road Truckers type show on the Weather Channel where they had some NHL alumni versus local celebrity versus truck drivers type hockey game, Mosh, and it was Craig Anderson in net. And the star of the game was Jordan Tutu. And when they announced Tutu, it was a rink probably about 2,000, maybe 2,500. When they announced Jordan Tutu, that place absolutely blew up. It was so interesting for me to wake up, flip on the Weather Channel to get the weather before coming to work and hear a PA announcer announcing Jordan Tutu for a celebrity alumni NHL game. I have no idea what show I was watching. I didn't get a chance to finish the show, but I can tell you, Tutu was putting on a display out there and doing all the things that we loved seeing him do in the past. All right, time in, back to the focus, but I'm glad you said his name because it jogged that memory, and that was such a, what a weird thing. You know, 2 o'clock in the morning, wake up times. It's interesting. Mosh, this is going to change the attitude of this conversation very dramatically. Last night, other than the Stampede line, way too many passengers. I'm channeling Barry Trotz by bringing that phrase back, but I have to tell you, I found the entirety of the other three lines to just be passengers out there on the ice in this game. And when I look at the box score, when I use my eyes, there isn't a metric that you can tell me that doesn't show me most of the guys on the ice last night were passengers.
You're absolutely right. A scenario, I think it was in the second period, where the Preds had a 3-on-2 rush and nobody wanted to shoot the puck. They had glorious chances from the slot area, and both of them decided to pass on the opportunity and try to make a really fancy play, and of course they end up with nothing out of it. So that's just one scenario, but it's just not good enough. I know Forsberg went hard. He played 20 minutes last night. You know, who didn't play 20 minutes last night? Matt Duchene, and I'm sure Sean C. Smith will have more on that. He played three shifts in the third period. That's somebody who you're paying $8 million a year for. Not good enough for him, not good enough for most of the team. I'm not going to all pin it on him. Embarrassing to watch, really. This is an opportunity you have to clinch a playoff spot before you go home against the team you are going to play against in a best of seven. You know, you find some things, use those two games, the result wouldn't have mattered, and you use those two games to just prepare yourself and just kind of study more and more film on them and see, try different things on the penalty kill, because certainly it hasn't worked so far this season. So it would have given you an opportunity to prepare yourself. Unfortunately, not the case.
Backing in is half-stepping, and I wanted to see the Nashville Predators handle that business last night in Columbus. It was a last-place team, and if they had just engaged a little bit, they would have won that game, and I will not back down from that opinion. Mastrodamus, let's back out from the Nashville Predators and look at an NHL-wide story. We spent a minute talking about it yesterday, and we predicted exactly what was going to happen. The NHL wanted its bloodbath. They wanted their ratings, and the NBC network got their ratings last night. Anybody who tuned in for the first segment of that hockey game got exactly what they knew was going to happen. 141 penalty minutes, six fighting majors in the first 4 minutes against the New York Rangers and the Washington Capitals at Madison Square Garden. It reminded me of a generation long forgotten, Mosh, when it was a 3-on-3 brawl to start the game, and then you saw former Nashville Predator Anthony Boteto engage. You saw all kinds of Predators, or all kinds of New York Rangers that you wouldn't typically see getting in fights, going out there and engaging in fights. No, it's not what anybody wanted to see, but if Tom Wilson was going to play in that game, that's exactly what was going to happen. Gary Bettman knew it. The Department of Player Safety knew it. Everybody on the benches knew it. Everybody in the rink knew it. And everybody tuning in knew it. There was no reason for that to happen last night. And when you even lose Pierre Maguire, and when he even starts questioning the league and the embarrassing moment that they had on display last night, it's really just a bad moment for the NHL, who's worked for the last 20 years to try to get the useless and unnecessary fighting portion of the game out of it. Mastrodamus, you watched it. You had your eye on it. Give me your opinions on what happened. They got their bloodbath.
Well, they got their ratings. This is exactly what they wanted. When you don't suspend somebody who does something as egregious as Tom Wilson does, and of course, he doesn't start the game, and that could have been Coach Laviolette saying, no, let's wait a little bit. Maybe it won't be as bad, and of course, It's a six players all in three fights, including Colin Blackwell, who, by the way, could have been playing for the Preds this year. He has 12 goals for the Rangers. Just throwing that out there. But Yeah, it was embarrassing to watch. Again, it's a bygone era. You're talking about the 1980s type hockey where line brawls were not routine, but certainly would see that a lot more often. And of course, soon Tom Wilson hits the ice. And kudos to Brendan Smith. He's nowhere near the size of Tom Wilson, but he went after him. He felt that he was the guy that needed to step up since they didn't make any calls from the AHL to address that issue. But that's not something you want to watch. And quite honestly, it took away from what eventually, by the end of the game, was a beautiful moment with TJ Oshie. TJ Oshie loses his dad the day prior. He goes out there, gets a hat trick. I'm a Rangers fan. You're a Rangers fan. You know what? That's a cool moment. But no, it's overshadowed by the garbage player that Tom Wilson is, who, oh, by the way, didn't come out for the second period and third period, whether that was Laviolette telling him, we're going to get people injured if you continue to play this game, so you're going to sit your ass in this locker room for the rest of the night. So, unfortunate. Should have been an awesome moment by the NHL, but again, overshadowed by the antics of Tom Wilson.
Three quick things to wrap that conversation up, and then I'm putting it away permanently. First of all, Laviolette also could have taken that player out of the lineup before the game and just went ahead and made the right decision. But his reaction, after covering him for all the years that I did, I'm not surprised by his reaction. But to go ahead and let it happen, I'm surprised that it went as far as it did. It was very, very embarrassing. And as far as Smith going on and taking Wilson, he absolutely took a whipping of a lifetime from Wilson in that. But he stepped up for his teammates, and he got a lot of stick taps. And the Garden faithful, as few as there were in there last night, when they heard the instigator penalty announced, Mosh, I'm sure that you heard it. That's probably one of the loudest cheers that you've heard in that building in quite some time on a day that was just absolutely will not be forgotten in New York Rangers history because of all the things in the front office, the statements, all of the things that happened that we could do a full two-hour show just on yesterday in New York Rangers history. But then TJ Oshie, I'm so glad you pointed that out because I wanted to point out something about Oshie. And it was kind of reminiscent of the movie Slapshot last night, right? Well, there was also a player on the ice that was also reminiscent of a player in Slapshot who refused to engage. I don't know, remember which New York Ranger it was, but he went straight after TJ Oshie at one point, dropped the gloves, and Oshie just turned, skated, went to the bench. And what happens? He ends up scoring a hat trick and winning a game for his hockey team on a very, very emotional night. So TJ Oshie has always been a player I've enjoyed watching. That is just absolute massive respect to him. He could have easily gotten involved in the fray and put himself down in the gutter just like Tom Wilson, but he didn't. And he went out there and he won a hockey game for his team, and that's good, hard hockey. We're all for good, hard hockey, and sometimes you got to get in a scrap over it, but we are not for slamming guys' heads into the ice. We are not for punching a guy when he is motionless down on the ice. And we're frankly not for anything Tom Wilson brings to the NHL at this point in time. He's the Chris Simon of this era, and he'll be forgotten just as quickly as Chris Simon because you had to Google it just to remember it, unless you were, of course, Mostradamus. Great conversation today, Mostradamus. I love getting into these issues, and I love talking about the NHL and hockey itself, and I love trying to make the game a little bit better. We got to clean these things up, and hopefully the NHL is going to do that soon. Getting rid of that Department of Player Safety is probably the first thing. And by the way, just the last comment I'll make on it, the Department of Player Safety is always going out there and talking about, you know, it's the maximum allowed by this, the maximum allowed by that, to protect the player that's getting the fines and getting the suspensions and getting the penalties. But Mosh, don't they also represent the victims in all of these incidents as well? Don't they represent all NHL players? Why did the NHLPA not step up and say anything in favor of an injured forward for the New York Rangers? Look, it's been a weird, controversial couple of days, and there'll be a lot more opinions and fallout from it, so I'll just drop it right there and let you respond on Twitter if you'd like, because I got to get to Sean C. Smith. But I'm very curious about between the Department of Player Safety, the NHLPA, the commissioner, there is a bizarre triangle right there of confusion, and eventually you're going to get one of your players killed if you don't get things straightened out. He is Mostradamus, and he's been in the trenches with us today. You can find him on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. Continue that conversation or listen to him on this radio show in the second period all season long. Mosh, appreciate you so much, my friend.
Charlie, always a pleasure. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Mostradamus and me getting fired up about some brawls at MSG. That goes back to our childhood, my friends. Good Renegades. Mostradamus and I both grew up going to Madison Square Garden and cheering on the New York Rangers. We did that all throughout the late 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and then we found ourselves in Middle Tennessee, and we became Renegades of Puck and started covering and tracking the Nashville Predators on a daily basis, and has been an incredibly great adventure ever since. So I appreciate each and every one of you for jumping in the trenches with me and Mostradamus. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter where you're going. Right now, you're in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny. This is Predneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio.
I'm Victor Arvidsson of the Nashville Predators, and you are listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back in, Predneck Nation Radio, here on Nashville Sports Radio from the Strike and Spare Studios. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. Victor Arvidsson bringing us back from break. Hopefully we'll have word on his injury status. The Nashville Predators seeming to get very healthy at the right time of the season, just before the NHL playoffs. Possibly a backdoor clinch on Friday night upcoming. But here to talk to me about that and all things Nashville Predators hockey from ontheforecheck.com is Sean C. Smith at SCSOTF is how you find him on Twitter. You need to be following him because he's got the intel that you need to know. Sean, I'll skip the usual pleasantries and I'll just say the good last night, the return of Fabbro and Sissons. The Preds are getting healthy at the right moment. Take us away.
Yeah, Dante Fabbro, I think, was a sight for sore eyes. And with his return to the ice, you're seeing all four of the top defenders that are out there. Now, they weren't necessarily in the final configuration that they're going to be last night, but they were definitely all out there, and that's really encouraging going into a potential playoff situation, because with a few games left, and I know it's not much, that's going to give these guys a chance to kind of work their way back into your traditional top four pairings that they've been in. Realistically, he was sheltered a bit last night, playing on the third pairing quite a bit. But in one of the bigger bright sides, I think you got to see Alexander Carrier get a good look on the top four. And I'm really impressed that Carrier got that chance, because Matt Benning had been playing so much top four time, I was surprised we didn't see him out there. But what that kind of says to me, and I think if you want to look at a big positive from last night, because I know you're really looking for positives right now, was that you saw one of those rookies who, as we've been saying, has earned his ice time get a call over some of the other veterans on the team. And if that's the situation moving forward, you may start to see some of those guys that have been impressive when they've been on the ice over some of the guys that are just there because they've always been on the team or they've been playing hockey longer or whatever it is that has kind of cemented them into those positions. As far as Colton Sissons goes, it was definitely disappointing that he's not going to earn the Crazy Charlie Dirty or Ugly Lunch Pail Award, but I was glad to see him back. He did have to have one night off, but he came back to a spot on the Stampede line. And, you know, that's the identity line moving forward, and it needs to be the identity of the team. And Richardson filled in fine, but getting the roster set up the way that Hines wants it for the playoffs is a big deal. And this is his last opportunity to see what he has in his toolbox. So maybe it wasn't the result that we wanted last night. Maybe the chemistry was off a little bit, but it was good to see those players back in the lineup.
One more on the good. Give me some compliments for that Stampede line, because last night they were by far the bright spot in this game.
Yeah, you know, it's all about identity, and I know that you've talked about it a lot this morning. Mosh talked about it a lot, too. Trennan and Janot are going out there and just absolutely erasing people off the ice. It's absolutely just inspiring to watch these just big, crushing, clean hits. Janot's scoring upside is impressive, too, because there's not a puck that goes into the zone that he's not right on top of, especially when it gets in front of the net. And him going to those dirty areas and getting up where he needs to be gives him a lot of opportunities to get those pucks in the net. And this line is a line that's going to do what they need to do every time. They're going to forecheck hard. They're going to try to deny zone entry, stand guys up at the blue line. And, you know, that says a lot about why they are following the game plan that seems to be laid out for this team every time, is that they're always going to do what's expected of them, and hopefully that inspires the other team to do the same.
All right, we found two good. Now, let's go one bad, one ugly. Let's start with bad. Matt Duchene, passenger, 11:34 time on ice. Mosh mentioned it, three shifts in the third period. Sean, discuss what happened right there.
Well,
Hines was asked about this after the game, and he clearly said, and very quickly said, it wasn't a punitive situation. It wasn't punishment. He explained that he felt like Forsberg was playing really well and wanted him to have more chances. And Hines isn't really a coach who likes to sit players just because. You know, I think we kind of got used to, toward the end of Laviolette's tenure with this team, that he was pretty quick to throw guys in the doghouse without an explanation to the media, without an explanation to anyone. And even when you'd ask players, as a member of the media, why they thought they weren't playing, they couldn't give you an explanation and just said they wish they knew. Hines is very clear when players sit. He's explained this last season, that when you have a player that's sitting, they know exactly why they're sitting. He has a conversation with them regularly that explains what they need to do to get back out on the ice, and those players will get an update and a one-on-one discussion after each practice session talking about their progress toward it. He doesn't seem like he plays the same head games that Laviolette played. In the qualifier last year, he said he doesn't make changes just because he feels like it. He makes decisions based on who has the best chance to do what the team needs each night. So if there's any doghouse situation, that will be apparent with the lineup for the next game, but I would avoid any speculation until then.
Sean the Ugly, the Nashville Predators left the door open now. It is very unlikely that the Dallas Stars are going to be able to overcome the schedule that they have in front of them, but the Nashville Predators, by failing to pick up a victory against the last-place team last night when they had every opportunity to do so, they no longer control their own destiny, and to me, that's kind of ugly because I wanted to start off this morning in a very good mood previewing Carolina, but we've had to spend a lot of time on this talking about the ugliness of it.
Yeah, you can call it fate, destiny, you can call it whatever you want to, but at this point, regardless of what it is, the Predators are not actually in the driver's seat when it comes to making the playoffs, and you called backing into that being a half-step move, and you know, I'd have to agree with you. You had your best opportunity to clinch that spot last night with a victory against the Blue Jackets. And how awesome would it have been to see the guys celebrating after the game, knowing that they could rest a little bit easier over the next two games and just really prepare mentally and physically for the challenges of a playoff series against one of those teams, more than likely the Hurricanes. But, you know, at this point, you're going to have to wait on Dallas to lose. And do you really want to find out that you've made it into the playoffs while you're eating dinner with your family at home? I mean, there's no cameras there. There's no big celebration. The team's not together. It's just not what you want to see. Hopefully things will turn out well. And at some point when the Predators are in the playoffs, I'm not really going to care how they got there. But in the moment, it's definitely not what you want to see is the team backing their way in.
Agree with you. In the moment, it's a jam that's pretty sour. And when you end up clinching while you're sitting at home watching on television Friday night, when the Dallas Stars fail to defeat the Tampa Bay Lightning, it's not going to be as enjoyable a moment. I hope that sour taste remains with the team and they bring it back to the ice surface starting this weekend and into the first round of the NHL playoffs, because they're going to need every bit of motivation, everything that they've got. They are truly going to be going up against a mountain, but anything is possible once you get in, and the point of a regular season is just to get into the postseason, and the Nashville Predators are very close to doing that. Unfortunately, we don't get to talk about them clinching today, but hopefully we will be able to talk about that here in the coming days. He's Sean C. Smith from OnTheForeCheck.com. You can find him on Twitter at SCSOTF. He jumps in the trenches with me every day in the third period. And remember, if it's 5 o'clock on your clock, the Renegades of Puck are on Nashville Sports Radio, and Sean C. Smith is in the trenches with me here from the Strike and Spare studios and on the F&M Bank phone line. Sean, appreciate you jumping in the trenches today.
I'm ready anytime you need me, Charlie.
We've got one more to go. We've got Brian Baston with One Big Stat coming up from the Renegade Analytics Desk. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
I'm Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators, and you are listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
From the Strike and Spare studios, going out to the F&M Bank phone line to talk to Brian Baston at the Renegade Analytics Desk. You can find him on Twitter at Brian Baston. He's got the numbers you need to know and the charts you need to see, and you can find those at OnTheForeCheck.com. Brian, Give the people your one big stat for today.
I know I use this segment to talk statistics about the Nashville Predators or their opponents, but not today. No, today I've got a bone to pick because I'm pretty ticked off. And, well, let's scratch that. I'm pretty damn furious. Today I've got some big stats for you, and as you may have guessed, we're going to talk a little bit about what a joke of the league the NHL made themselves yesterday. Now, unfortunately, it took me way too long to become the hockey fan that I am today, but I have fallen head over heels in love with this sport. I love the game of hockey, so don't get me wrong. I do. I adore this game of hockey, but I absolutely despise the National Hockey League, and the last 48 hours have done nothing to change that. Y'all have talked enough about what Tom Wilson did two nights ago, but let me give you a couple steps. The Department of Player Safety decided not to suspend Tom Wilson. They gave him a $5,000 fine. The first step is that the Department of Player Safety has fined Tom Wilson five times in his career, but only suspended him twice, and that is a joke. And speaking of jokes, that $5,000 fine, the maximum allowable under the CBA, Wilson receives about $4.4 million in his salary this season, and that $5,000 is a literal drop in the bucket. Just how meaningless is it? If you're a kid that gets a $10 a week allowance, that $5,000 fine is like telling that kid that he's being punished and has to pay 61 cents for what he's done. It's a joke. And again, I know I keep saying the word joke, but let's talk a little bit about Peter Laviolette and what he did yesterday too. Aside from the news that he's once again apparently pretty close to pushing another center out of town, his response yesterday to the Wilson hit was a joke. Not only did he refuse to say one time that what Wilson did was wrong or that he broke any rules, he made it a point to spend a couple minutes to paint Tom Wilson as a victim in this league, and that because Wilson has all eyes on him, that he's going to get the spotlight on him, and he's going to have more. He's going to get more trouble than other players. I have had my issues with Laviolette and in the past, and it's been pretty obvious. But do you expect Tom Wilson to change, or anybody to change, when a guy like that is in charge of the team? And speaking of people in charge, we're going to talk on two people. Of course, there's George Parros, the head of player safety. And again, absolute joke. The NHL appointed him the head of the department, a player with almost 1,100 penalty minutes in his NHL career. The man even owns a company that glorifies that type of violence and celebrates it. The Rangers called for his job yesterday, and they were absolutely correct. And then, of course, speaking of people in charge, somebody that I've long despised is NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. Now, again, most of the things that I've had issues with is the fact that, you know, he's consistently denied any links between CTE and brain damage and concussions that players get. And not only has the NHL gone after players who look to seek restitution from the NHL for what they've had to deal with their injuries, but yesterday was just a prime example of everything that's been wrong with what he's done and his time overseeing the NHL. And so I want to touch on that because, you know, everybody's been saying, well, it's like, well, if you don't like this, if you like to be soft, if you want a soft sport like this, then this is what you're going to get and you're going to leave. You know, you don't have to watch and it'll be great. But, you know, these people who think this stuff is great and all these huge line brawls are fine and that, you know, Wilson could have ended a man's career two nights ago. And they'd say, well, if you're going to be gone, you're going to be gone. And all the good and true fans are going to be right. Well, according to Gallup 4 years ago, and this is my last stat, I promise, the National Hockey League is listed. It's fifth in the country as far as popularity for this sport. 4% of the country lists hockey as their favorite sport. And if they think they're going to continue to try to grow this sport at all, this is not the way to do it. And that's been, well, several of my big stats.
He's Brian Baston from OnTheForeCheck.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian Baston. Passionate words, passionate opinions from a hockey fan that doesn't go all the way back to the 70s when it was common to have full bench clearing brawls and line brawls. And I appreciate him bringing it strong with some no half stepping opinions in the trenches here today on Predneck Nation Radio. For Sean C. Smith, for Mastrodamus, for Brian Baston, the Ultimate One will be back in the trenches with us tomorrow for K Perk, bringing those memes and the visuals that help bring us new listeners. Everyone knows a renegade out there, so make sure you're spreading those links. Make sure you're passing the word down the line. Get in the trench with the Renegades of Puck. If it's 5 o'clock on your clock, the Renegades of Puck are on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier. Stick taps, love, respect to all. You have it in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.